morning, St. Luke's. And a special greeting today to our friends from Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls and all of our long-term members and short-term friends and people visiting for Thanksgiving. I'm so glad we get to worship together. Like I said earlier, I'm Pastor Dan, and we are today in chapter 11 of our journey through the story of Scripture. We're going through the whole story of the Bible, and we're halfway through the Old Testament. Today we come across David and Goliath. But this story, like every story in the Bible, it doesn't stand in isolation. It comes with a context. We got here from somewhere. Starting way back in chapter 1, we had, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. They fell into sin. They had a son, Cain and Abel. One killed the other. They had more sons. The earth became populated and filled with sin. God sent a flood to wipe everybody out except for Noah and his family. And then they built the long tower up to the heavens. God confused their language. That didn't work out so well. God started calling people to the faith. He called the patriarchs, beginning with Abraham, who had a promised son named Isaac. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Isaac had a promised son named Jacob. It's good. Who changed his name to Israel, who had 12 sons, and number 11 was named Joseph. Yeah, Joseph got sold as a slave down into Egypt. 400 years later, God calls a man named Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. They're faithless. They wander the wilderness for 40 years. Moses dies, and who brings them into the promised land? Joshua, yeah. So Joshua leads them across the Jordan River. They conquer the city of Jericho, and God says to the Israelites, this land is your land. I'm giving it to you. Go and drive out the inhabitants. Drive out all the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. And go drive all of them out. This is your land. Kick them out. They're going to tempt you, and you're going to marry with them and follow their false gods. It's no good. Just get rid of them all right now, and then you'll have the whole land. And so they crossed the Jordan River. They conquered Jericho, a couple more cities, and they said, it's good. It's good. Far enough. Why go all the way to the water? We're good right here. You know, there's mountains and hills. Let's just stop. Some of them look mean. Some of them look nice. We'll just be neighbors and it'll be okay. And so they didn't do what God said. And so they were living in conflict with a lot of these bad nations. They would sometimes live in harmony with them, which was just as bad, taking their children and giving their children in marriage, worshiping all the false gods. And what would happen is these bad nations would oppress the people of Israel. They'd cry out to God for help, and God would raise up these leaders called judges. And the judge, the victor, the champion, they would fight off the bad people. That would last for a little bit, and the people of God said, yeah, we got it from here, we're fine. New people would come in and oppress them. God, save us. God would send out a judge. Then they'd say, yeah, we're good, we got it from here. Bad people would come in. God, save us. Judge. You get the idea. At some point in that very broken cycle, the people of Israel looked at these other nations and they said, how come they have kings and we don't have a king? And God said, well, because I'm your king. No, God, we want a king like they have kings. And God said, no, I'm your king. I'll protect you and love you and provide for you. God, we want a king like they have kings. And so God said, fine. And he appointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. And now Saul is picking up the job that Joshua didn't finish and that the judges didn't finish. And they're fighting all the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Philistines. And so we come to the story of David and Goliath, which takes place in this battle that's been going on for generations. And it's a familiar story, but I think it's worth making sure we're on the same page with some of the key details. So Saul's the king of the Israelites, and he's fighting against the Philistines, the Philistines, and they're meeting in this valley, the Valley of Elah. And so there's hills on both sides, and the armies are going to fight in the middle. And so the Israelites line up on one side, and the Philistines line up on the other side. And they're going to do battle. But instead of everybody charging at once and making a big old bloody mess where everybody fights and most people die. Instead, they're going to be civilized about it. They say, you pick one man, we'll pick one man. This person will represent all the people. And this person will represent all the people. And these two guys representing their respective peoples will battle to the death. And whoever wins, wins. One man will die for a whole people. Another man will be a victor on behalf of a whole people. And we'll just settle things that way. And so Goliath steps out. And Goliath is enormous, somewhere between probably 7 and 9 feet tall. Now, I'm not a big guy. I look up to most of you, which is, I kind of like this step. I get to, and you're all sitting and I'm standing tall. It's very artificial in my world. Goliath is this big man that comes out, and the Philistines have chosen their champion. Who will fight against Goliath? And over on the Israel side, it's crickets. They felt like grasshoppers going into the promised land. Remember, this is what Caleb and Joshua came back and they said, let's go in there. And the other 10 guys said, we're like grasshoppers compared to these people. We don't have a chance. Caleb, Joshua said, we got this thing. Let's go in there. Well, now they're in that grasshopper versus giant battle. And there's just crickets and nobody wants to fight. And they line up day after day and the Philistines send out their champion, Goliath, and the Israelites send out nobody. And Scripture tells us that this happened for 40 days, this time of testing, this time of trial, this time where the people of God realized that they were impotent against a far greater force. And that's about the time when little David shows up, right? He's going to check on his brothers, deliver a little care package to the troops at the front lines, and he asks how things are going, and he hears Goliath taunting God. I love the line on 148. He shouted his usual defiance. Goliath is taunting the Israelites. He's taunting the God of Israel. He's defying the living God. And David can't stomach this. And he says, nobody's going to fight this guy. I'll fight this guy. And so David stands in for the whole people of Israel. And he fights against Goliath, standing in for all the enemies of the people of God. And these two forces go to battle. Though, as we see, it's not much of a battle, right? David gets his stone, slings it, knocks him in the head. Goliath is dead. We left off the part where he cuts off his head and drags it around town for the children's sake. It's a pretty gruesome scene. Goliath has to die. He dies on behalf of his people. David wins victory on behalf of his people. This is the story of David and Goliath. It's a familiar story. It's a story that we want to read and say, okay, what does it mean for me? How do we apply this to my life? What do I take away from this? And that has happened again and again, and it continues to happen. And I think when we ask that question, what does this mean for me? What does the story of David and Goliath have to do with my life? I think the thing that is most common that a lot of us do and we've heard and participated in is we read the story and we say, okay, I want to put myself in the story. David's the hero. I must be David, obviously. He's the hero. He's the one who saves the day. Sounds a lot like somebody I know. So we say, I'm like David, because he's the hero and he's awesome, so that's me. And so I'm the hero and I'm awesome and I've got struggles in my life. I've got things in my life. I've got to fight the giants that is the leaves on my deck. I got to slay my giants. I've got to face the giants in my life of marital strife. I've got to face the giants in my life of the weeds that grow up constantly. I've got to face the giants in my life of maintaining a beautiful complexion. I've got to face the giants in my life of male pattern baldness. I've got to face the giants in my life of disobedient children, and I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to win. And the connections to the story are obvious. I think when we treat the story of David and Goliath like that, one thing that's good out of that is the fact that as the people of God, we should be brave. As the people of God, we should be courageous. As the people of God, we recognize there are broken things in our life that we need to stand up against, and that's all absolutely true. But I think when I just directly apply this story to me, and I'm David, and I'm fighting my giants of my inbox, you know, I think we miss a few things that are important to the story. I think we miss the fact that David was fighting on behalf of all the people of God. He was one man standing in for a nation. And when he fought Goliath, he wasn't just fighting like a little problem. He was fighting the very epitome of the enemies of God. Now, my weeds are a problem. My hairline is potentially a problem. But these aren't on the same scale as enemies of God. I think when we read the story of David and Goliath, and I'm just David, and I got to fight my giants, this, that, and the other, I think we take something that was very communal and very cosmic in scope, and we make it very personal and private and small. We forget the fact that Goliath has to die in the story. So if Charlotte and my marriage is my giant that I have to slay for the day, we got problems. David kills Goliath. That's how this ends. So do not see your children and their discipline as your giant for the day. The biggest problem, though, when we treat the problems in our life like they're the giants in the story, is I think the fact that we completely can miss Jesus. We miss Jesus when we do that. And this story, like all of them, is there to point us to Jesus. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So what would it look like for us to read the story of David and Goliath as pointing us to Jesus? Well, if Jesus and I are auditioning for parts, He gets to be the hero, right? So if we're looking for Jesus in this story, Jesus gets to be David, David gets to be the hero. So what does that leave for me? Shauna, who are we in the story? If Jesus gets to play the part of David, well, then the rest of us, I think, we're like the Israelites. We're this mass of people who are huddled together in the face of great evil, realizing that we can't do it. The Israelites perhaps were cowardly, but they were also correct. They couldn't fight Goliath. They didn't have a chance, and they knew it. And as we look at the world that we live in, we've got some serious problems in this world. There are things that I cannot win against. Right? There are shootings every stinking week. I can't stop them. People have diagnoses that are really scary and really bad every week that I can't help with. Satan continues to prowl and torment God's people, and I can't stop him. And people continue to die, and I can't stop it. We can put Band-Aids on every one of those situations, and we should help ameliorate the pain where we can. But the enemy is bigger than the leaves on my deck. The scale in this story is huge and openly defiant to God's will. And so while we rightly recognize that we can't win this battle, Jesus, the Son of David, shows up. And Jesus actively goes to battle where the people of God are helplessly passive. And Jesus lives the perfect life that we couldn't live. He goes to battle in our place, and He throws down, and He defeats the enemies for us. Jesus goes toe-to-toe with sin, death, and the power of the devil, as we say. And Jesus wins the victory. And through the death of death itself, because of our representative going to fight for us, we no longer have to cower, but the victory is ours in Jesus. And now we can see the gospel in the story. Now we can see that God rescues us when we were defenseless. Now we can see that God rescues us from the enemy, not just a small problem or pebble in our shoe, but the enemy of God is defeated. Sin itself, the devil himself, death itself, are defeated through Jesus. When we read the story of David and Goliath, and when I place myself immediately as David, it's a good reminder to be courageous and brave, and even though I'm the underdog, maybe I've got a chance. All right. But I think we miss Jesus and what he's done for us. And so when we see Jesus in this story, when we see Jesus as the one who fulfills what David foreshadowed, I think we're on the right track. When we see ourselves as the Israelites helpless against an overpowering army, I think we're on the right track. But I also think we can go one step further. What if we read the story of David and Goliath? And instead of seeing myself as David, instead of identifying with the Israelites, what if I identify myself with Goliath? Goliath daily defies God. Goliath, through his words and actions, shows that he has little regard for the living God. And I know something about that. You know, I stand in front of y'all for 1 hour a week and button up my shirt and get to stand and smile and talk about the Bible. And I love it. And I'm sincere in it. But there's a whole lot of other hours in the week. And they're not all as polished as this one. And there are thoughts that pop into my head before I've had a chance to filter them that do nothing but defy God, where God makes his will known, and I say, I don't think so, Lord, not this day. I know better. I know what you should have done. I know what you should do. I got it from here. Why don't you move on over in that throne? I'll take it. And some of those thoughts make their way towards my mouth. And every now and then, I have this filter that slows a few of them down. But oftentimes, things come out that might be an impatient word towards my kid, or a hurtful word towards my spouse, or a mean word about a coworker. And in every one of those moments, I'm trampling God's will underfoot in open defiance. And I do things day after day. I do things day after day that are basically daring God to do something about it. You know what I mean? I've done this before. I'll do it again. Weren't any consequences last time. Let's see what God's going to do this time. Nothing? All right. And I stand with daily defiant heart against God. And in the text, Goliath has to die. That's how this ends. For open rebellion and defiance against the living God, Goliath needs to die. And when I find myself resonating with this character of Goliath, I realize I have to die. And yet our God is so abundant in his grace. He can put me to death even as he gives life. Jesus' fights for the people of God and represents us in that. But in the same way, Jesus on the cross dies for the people of God. And I'm about to say something that sounds cliche, but can you trust me that it's not? I'm about to say something that sounds like the Lutheran answer. And I don't mean it to sound like the Lutheran answer. I mean it to be good news for you today from the living Word of God. When we were the enemies of God, that's what Scripture calls us. When we were the openly defined enemies of God, He sent Jesus to die for us. And Scripture tells us that He does something miraculous in these flowing waters over here, or in that little font where somebody splashed water in your head 80 years ago, or in that icy river where you got dunked. In the waters of baptism, God promises that the death the Goliath in me deserves has been accomplished in Jesus. And through those waters has been credited to me. Romans 6 says that for all of us who have been baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death. Just let that sink in for a second. The death that I deserved for my defiance to God, the death that Jesus underwent on the cross, when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into His death. It happened in Jesus. It happened for you. Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ. This death that I deserve, it happened in Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3. So whether we are like the Israelites huddled in fear against a broken world that we are powerless against, we can look to Jesus as our champion who fights and wins the day, or whether we find ourselves standing toe to toe with our nose up or a select finger up before God Himself, deserving nothing but His wrath, Jesus died that death for you. And in your baptism, He credits that death as already having happened. And now when He sees you, He sees His perfect and beloved child through Jesus. That's the story of David and Goliath, to which I say thanks be to God. Amen.